This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. It's fair to say that in the last 100 years, technology has changed so much of our lives. It has changed the way that we live, the way that we work, the way that we interact with each other, various forms of entertainment that we have. But one of the ways that technology has changed our lives is in how we experience and how we feel about authority. You see, prior to the internet, we had a lot more respect for different authority figures in our life. You see, prior to the internet, if you were sick and there was something wrong with you, you would go to the doctor and you pretty much believed whatever the doctor told you. Now, if you're sick, the first thing that you might do is not call the doctor, but go to Google and look for your symptoms on WebMD and try to diagnose yourself. Before the internet, if we had a legal question, we would immediately go to a lawyer or to an attorney. But now, for example, if you want to create a will, you can do it entirely online for a fraction of the cost of hiring a lawyer. Another example, of course, is religion or faith. That before, if you had a question about God, you asked your pastor. That if you wanted to experience a religious service, you went to a physical church. But now, you can literally watch thousands of different religions and services on the internet at any time. And because we can learn and experience things apart from traditional authority figures, we have become to feel like we are a little bit more of an authority than we used to be. That we have the ability to learn and make decisions apart from these different authority figures in our life. Now, this isn't entirely bad. Information, of course, is a good thing. Being able to learn and educate ourselves is important. But there is a danger, for example, in feeling like we don't need anyone or anything. That we have all the information, all the wisdom to make all our own decisions, and we can be truly independent and autonomous. You see, one thing that many people dream and crave is to be autonomous, to be on their own, to no longer need a job or their bosses, to be able to go where they want and do what they want at a moment's notice. Some people dream about this and work their entire lives for the financial freedom to be able to make their own choices. And we often admire and look at both real people and fictional people about what it means to have true authority over our own lives. For example, there has been a television series that has lasted decades and sort of gone away and resurfaced, and that television series is Star Trek. And Star Trek, if you know, is about travelers through space. And it's sort of a military ship, if you will, that doesn't belong to a particular country or world, but travels and explores and goes and has different adventures. And while the people in this shows have changed, the roles have been pretty much the same. And the role that defines the Star Trek series is the captain. You see, the person who is the captain often is the person who defines that particular series. And for generations, people have wondered about what it would be like to be the captain of the Star Trek Enterprise. This idea to be in charge, this idea to be the authority figure of the ship. But you see, when we look at people who have a lot of authority or autonomy in our world, we often see that they give it away or they throw it away by making bad decisions. Every year it seems like there's different celebrities or political figures or CEOs who make an irresponsible decision that seems to cost them so much in their life. And we wonder why after having achieved so much authority and autonomy, why did they give it all away? And maybe the answer is that as human beings, we're never meant to sit in the captain's chair. That we are never meant to be the authority figure over our own life, and to do so is dangerous. That at the end of the day, we need to trust our authority over our lives and our world to someone who is much wiser and capable than we are. In our scripture reading today, Jesus travels to a different country, a country not filled with family and friends that he is familiar with, not even people who come from his own background. Jesus travels to a land called Gennesaret. And while there, he discovers that there is a man who the scripture tells us has demons. And this man, because of his affliction, has been removed from his hometown, has removed from his house, and has actually been put to live in the graveyard. And his family and friends and his community have no idea what to do with him. They're unable to treat him, they're unable to heal him, and so what they do is they try to chain him up. They try to chain him up so that he can no longer hurt or disturb anyone else in the town. But because this man's affliction is so great, he breaks the chains and wanders around the graveyard screaming. And so Jesus approaches this man. And when he approaches this man, he is not filled with fear. He is not overwhelmed by this man's demons. But instead, he asks this man his name. Now imagine how long it has been since someone actually asked this man his name, since someone had actually cared to know him, since someone had treated him as a human being, and that's what Jesus does. And the man does not give his actual name. Instead, he says that his name is Legion. And Legion means many. It's the ancient word for a lot of soldiers. See, this man is essentially saying that his name is many demons. Now, of course, that's not his name, but you see, when a person is afflicted with some sort of affliction, whether it's a mental or physical or emotional illness, often that can be so overwhelming that feels like who they are, that feels like that is their identity. But again, Jesus is steady. Jesus is not overwhelmed, and Jesus doesn't chain the man back up, but instead Jesus takes the demons out of this man, puts them in a group of pigs, and they run off a cliff and die. And the man is freed from his affliction. He is once again restored. He is human and he is whole. And the people and the villagers are overwhelmed and surprised at how this could happen. And the man, of course, wants to follow Jesus. He wants to devote his life to Jesus. And Jesus simply tells him to declare how much God has done for you and go back to your life. Now, what do we take from this situation? What do we take from this scripture reading today, living in the 21st century? Well, I believe it's this. I believe that we have to recognize that Jesus has more power and authority and capabilities than us. That Jesus has solutions that are beyond our comprehension, beyond our abilities, to treat and heal the world and our lives. And that the best thing that we can do in our own daily lives is not try to acclaim authority over our lives or over the world ourselves. Because to do that, we will inevitably be overwhelmed. The best thing that we can do is defer authority to God, because God's ways are better than our ways. You think about it in this story for a second. What was the human solution to this man's problem? The human solution was to chain this man up, and those chains didn't even work. But God had a bigger solution. God had a bigger answer that people in the village and this man himself could not fully comprehend and see.
You see, God is wiser and more capable than us, and so we must always defer to his authority. Because whatever you're going through, God has seen it time and time again. I remember a number of years ago, I was visiting my girlfriend, who is now my wife, and I was at her house, and I was visiting with her, and she needed to go to an appointment or work, I can't really remember. And so I left to leave the house at the same time she did, and I went to go out to my car, and I saw that on my car, one of the tires had a flat tire. Now, she immediately was worried or concerned, asked me if that she should call someone, and I said, don't worry about it. I know how to handle this. I know how to take care of this. See, my dad, a number of years before when I first got my license, showed me how to change a tire in this event, and I was actually looking forward to the opportunity to impress my new girlfriend, that I knew how to change a tire. And so I did everything I was supposed to do. I loosened the lug nuts, I put the tire up on a jack, and then I took off the lug nuts, and then came the time to remove the tire. And I pulled on the tire, I pulled on the tire, and it was stuck. I couldn't remove the tire. And my girlfriend, now wife, looked at me kind of confused and asked if I needed help or asked if she could call someone. I said, grunting or sweating and now kind of embarrassed, no, I got this, I'll take care of this. And she said, okay, well, I gotta go, you know, I gotta get to my appointment or I'm gonna be late. And I said, yeah, don't worry, everything will be fine. And so I stood there in her driveway trying to get this tire off, and I couldn't. And so finally, I decided to call my dad. And I called my dad, and I told him the situation. I said, Dad, I did everything that you asked me to, showed me to do. I took the lug nuts off. I got it off on the jack. I just can't get the tire off. And my dad said, okay, I'll be right there. So my dad drove over, and about 15 minutes later, he got there, and he stood, and he looked up this tire that was up on the jack, and he just kind of looked at it for a second and then stood around it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, without warning, my dad lifted up his foot and kicked the tire, and the tire came loose. You see, based on the way that the tire was putting on there, something I did, it became kind of jammed. And all the tire needed was a good, swift kick, and it came loose. And I looked at him incredulously, surprised that it could have been that simple, that easy. How could I have not known that? And my dad looked at me and said, it's okay, Andy. You can tell your girlfriend that you took the tire off yourself. You see, I share that story with you because I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I knew how to change this tire, and I thought that it would come out easy and with no problems. But there was an unforeseen circumstance, an issue that I had never experienced before, and because of that, I didn't know how to solve it. But my dad, being much older and much wiser than I was, had changed many tires himself and had known the solution when I did not. Do you understand that you have a Father in heaven who wants to operate in your life in the same way? That you have a Father in heaven who wants to have authority not just over the world, but over your life, and he wants to help you and help you understand that when life is overwhelming, when there's problems too big for you to bear, nothing is too big for him to bear. And so the question then becomes, how do we give authority over to God? How do we make that conscious choice not to be in charge of our own lives, but to have God be in charge of our lives for us? And there's a scripture reading that I think really drives this point home. It comes from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. You see, the scripture says that giving God authority looks like a life that is filled with contentment and godliness. Contentment and godliness. You see, contentment comes from a place of believing that everything that you have that is good in your life, every blessing that you have received, comes not from you, but comes from God. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, but Pastor Andy, I work hard for my money and I've earned the things I have. And that's true. You have worked hard. You have earned some things. But at the end of the day, the most important things that you have are not things that you've created yourself. The food at the grocery store, yes, you may buy with money that you have. But did you create the animals that exist in that grocery store, or the plants or the fruits and the vegetables that allow you to eat? The sunshine that warms the earth, the air that fills your lung, all these things are essential to life, and yet we have not done nothing to earn them. You see, at the beginning of your life, when you are born, when you're a baby, you are completely dependent on the people who take care of you to survive. That without them and without the things that they give you freely, you would not be here today. And if you live long enough, you will re-enter a state of dependence where you depend on people to help you with the things that you need, help you with your health care and other issues that might arise. And yeah, in the middle, we have some authority, we play some roles, we wear some hats, but this is so temporary in the grand scheme of things, in the eternal things, that we need to humble ourselves to a place of contentment that appreciates the blessings that God has given us, that the best things in life are not earned, but are free gifts from God. And then if we accept that fact, that if we believe that God has given us every blessing as a free gift, then we will be moved to a life of godliness. Out of a sense of gratitude, we will realign our actions and our words to live as God wants us to live. To say, thank you, God, for all the blessings that you have given us, most profoundly my salvation, and because of that, I am going to live in a godly way. I am going to live in alignment with your truth and your word. So whenever you find yourself in a position of authority, whenever you find yourself having power, however small it may be, defer it to God. Let him manage and govern your life. And I trust you. Trust me. It'll be the best decision that you could ever make. Let us pray. Good and loving God, we thank you for the many blessings you have given us and for the authority that you have over our world. Help us trust your wisdom and your goodness, and help us give up all our power to you. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.